Jim Wyatt. We're laughing about having Jim on here. We're laying in the weeds for Jim. He's on the F&M Bank phone line. Jim is the Titans senior writer and editor, Titans TennesseeTitans.com. What's up, Jim?
Hi, Jimmy.
Uh-oh. Laying in the weeds. What do you guys?
Well, we're just looking at these NL West standings there, Jimmy.
Dodgers are just reeling.
You know, thought you had to worry about little brother, the Padres. How about them Los Gigantes up 21-14 leading the division, man?
It's still early.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what I've been saying as a Yankee fan, yeah. Bro. So yeah.
They don't hand out trophies on May what? May 11th?
Right. That's right.
But the last, was it the last time he were on, he talked to me, called the Padres little brother?
Little brother? He said they do a lot of talking in San Diego, but not winning a lot of championships.
That's true, and I will say this: they were hot a little bit early last year, so I think things will level off. My Dodgers, they have not been playing very well. Certainly, need to get it in gear, but I think when it gets down to crunch time, I think the Padres will be sent back to timeout.
I'll tell you this: those games, those Dodger Padre games, have been fantastic to watch, man. I'm sure they've been nerve wracking for you, but they've been super entertaining for me.
Yeah, entertaining up until the part the Dodgers blew some leads in those games and lost. So,
oh, that Sunday night one, man.
Yeah, yeah. But just the intensity, man. It feels like a playoff game every time these two teams play. You can feel the tension and the dislike between these two teams, and I love it.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, as a a Dodger fan, the Giants have always been the team that you've kind of loathed the most, and mm-hmm. I think that's always going to be true. But you know, I think the Padres certainly with Machado and Tatis and now bringing Snell over, and they've got a good roster that it's going to be competitive, and there's going to be a lot of back and forth there. You had a bench clearing situation in one of those games mm-hmm. earlier this season, so there's some bad feelings, I think, between the two franchises. I think certainly more bad feelings on the Padres' part just because the Dodgers have. Let's face it, they've had their way against them and have had a lot more success. But when the Padres come into Dodger Stadium and beat them 3 out of 4, I think that certainly gets your attention. So it's a long season. These two teams can play a lot of times, and hopefully by the time, All-Star game gets here and beyond, the Dodgers will be playing a lot better than they are right now, because right now they're not playing very well.
No, I got to mention it too. You know where I'm going, John? My Brewers are 6-1 against the Dodgers and Padres, 3-1 against the Dodgers, and so just thought I'd mention.
Yeah,
and then they lose like 6 in a row. But
right.
Anyway,
let's talk about the Titans.
Good talking to you, Jim.
Yeah, goodbye, Jim. We'll talk Titans another day.
So hey, we're looking
about some Vandy football now.
Yeah. So how about Father Ryan? You want to go there? Hey, you online at TennesseeTitans.com, you have a 25 newcomers, and that doesn't count the undrafted free agency. We've got some questions. Has there been an undrafted free agent list been released?
I think it'll be probably, if I had to say, probably Friday, and the reason why we're behind. Like obviously when the draft ends, the agents, the players, they start putting out there where their guys are signing.
Right.
And the teams, and back in my Tennessee days, obviously I'm hunting those down and putting them out myself. Now it's different because, the teams want to bring these guys to town. They want to get them to sign physicals. There have been cases where guys have said they're coming one place and they end up going another. Man, like Garrett Blunt was one of those guys way back in the day who kind of flipped after initially just thinking he was going somewhere else. So, the team wants to get these guys in here. They want to give them physicals and they want to make sure they're good to go. So I would think that that's going to be, Thursday or Friday when that happens, when guys start to come in town for a rookie orientation and mini camp. There's not going to be as many. I mean, I think you've seen the Titans since the draft ended. They've already signed, 4 more guys, and I think some of that's just because your numbers are going to be a little bit lower from an undrafted free agent standpoint. Another off season where you just don't have as much in person stuff happening, where it's tougher on these undrafted guys. You prefer to have some players who have kind of been through the process before. But I think you'll start to see the whole list from an official standpoint at the end of this week.
Jimmy White is our guest from TitansOnline.com. All right. I don't know if he gave a grade out for the draft, Jimmy, but obviously Caleb Farley, the first pick, 22 overall. And listen, if this guy's healthy, we're all in agreement. This guy has the potential to be a great pro. What's the expectation level in terms of him being healthy, two back surgeries, ACL? Should we expect him to be ready by training camp?
Well, everything I've heard, and a lot of it is what I've heard from him, has been, hey, I expect to be ready. I think the GM, the head coach, I think the team's training staff, they're obviously going to err on the side of caution there. They're not going to rush him back, you know, kind of like you don't win pennants in May. You don't win Super Bowls necessarily at the start of July and in July, in August, obviously. You know, you want to get these guys up to speed and in action and get their learning curve going as fast as possible. But if you want to be completely safe, then you give him as much time as possible and then you try to ease him back in. So, I mean, coming to this team for so long, 20 years now, it's hard to believe, but I have just seen, no matter with the coach Jeff Fisher or Mike Munchak or Mike Mularkey or Kim Wisenhunt or Mike Vrabel, it just seems like coaches always tend to err on the side of caution, give these guys a little bit more time just to make sure they're completely good to go before they get them in there. So if he's not ready for the start of camp, I don't think that's necessarily should be alarming. I just think that they're going to be careful with him. Listening to Farley, and I've talked to him. I talked to him, the Friday after the draft when he was in town, and obviously talked to him on that conference call. And he seems like he's optimistic about his chances. But the kids are always going to be optimistic, and I'm sure he's ready to put this behind him as fast as he possibly can, but I don't necessarily think the medical staff and the coaching staff is going to be as quick to dismiss it because they want to protect their investment and they want to make sure he's good when it really matters.
Jim White with us. I thought the second round, offensive tackle Dylan Radins of North Dakota State, and feeble. He's an All American there. That's maybe quite a bit. It's probably better than most FBS. A lot of the FBS, not most, but
especially that program.
Especially. But and also remember someone who was drafted from that level played a long time at left tackle, named Michael Roos of Eastern Washington. So that doesn't bother me at all. I like the way this guy looks.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny, before you led into Roos, I was going to kind of go there because I have heard some people kind of question the pick a little bit because of where he plays, and he's not an SEC guy or a Big Ten guy, so people want to throw a little shade his way. He's a solid player, and there's no question. I mean, and look who he's been playing with, a quarterback who was picked, number three overall. So he's been good at the level he's played. I think everything from a technical standpoint to the to athleticism standpoint to just being a smart player. I think he's going to kind of slide in and be up to speed when he gets here. I mean, he's a very mature young man. He lost his father at a young age. Kind of his. AJ Blazek, offensive line coach at Vanderbilt, who was his offensive line coach out at North Dakota State, just said he's been the head of his household or the father figure of his household since he was in the fifth or sixth grade. I mean, he had to grow up in a hurry. So I expect him to be, to compete for that starting spot right out of the gate. Now, does that mean he's a shoe-in for that right tackle job? No, because he's coming in and competing against a guy like Kendall Lamb, who has played before. He's competing with Tyson Rayo, who's obviously done it before. David Quisenberry, is still going to be in that competition. So I think, if I had to place bets on week one starter, I don't know that I necessarily would put my money on him, but maybe he'll surprise me. And I do think it's a scenario kind of like Nate Davis a couple of years ago. Maybe he ends up sliding into that spot week four, week five, if everything goes well. We'll see. That's just me speculating.
Jimmy, what about what about Monty Rice? You know, linebacker out of Georgia. No one's really talked about him since he got drafted. Where do you think he fits in?
Well, I'll say this about him because a lot of people have questioned that pick too,
yeah.
And why you're taking inside backer at your third pick. I was talking to somebody about this, and I think they made a good point. Let's say they take Elijah Molden with that first of the third round picks, and you take Monty Rice after that, then maybe people don't look at it quite like they did, scrutinizing it like they did. If maybe Molden's at 92 and Rice is at 100, even though it was only eight picks between the two of them, I think when you look at the sheet of paper, you think, well, I'll be taking inside linebacker with a third pick. Maybe if he's sitting at the fourth pick for you, it's not scrutinized as much. I think I get it. Rashawn Evans, and Jayon Brown both have expiring contracts, so you're trying to protect yourself moving forward, and I think he's a guy that can help you early. Of all the picks, that one kind of was the one that maybe surprised me the most of any of them. But again, when I kind of thought more about it and realized, kind of like I said, if maybe Molden goes with the third for the Titans, maybe it's not scrutinized quite as much. I think he's going to be a really good player, but just a matter of how soon he makes his big impact. And then Molden, since I touched on him, mm-hmm. I think he may be my favorite pick of the draft just because of everything I've heard about him, his background with his father playing the league, just his ability as a slot guy and just his football instincts. He just sounds like a football junkie. I've had several people tell me, I've spent some time with him, that he kind of reminds you a little bit of Corbin Finnegan, just kind of with the feisty play. So I think Molden may have ended up being my favorite pick of the whole draft class.
Jim Wyatt with us at J. Wyatt Sports. Follow him on Twitter. He's on the F&M Bank phone line. What is June 1st? What impact is June 1st going to have, not necessarily exclusively with the Titans, but on the league? Of course, that's the time that they can split bonus onto two cap hits, basically, right? The bonus money. So how is that going to impact the league? Because I'm hearing there's going to be quite a few players out there in that market.
Yeah, I think so. I'll say that a lot of times though, that has been a big date circled, and sometimes kind of like the trade deadline, it doesn't live up to some of the hype. I think this year could be a little bit different because of the cap constraints and because of what teams have dealt with as a result of the pandemic. I still think, the Titans, I'll be curious to see how it impacts the Titans. I mean, I think if you look at Tennessee and the cap money that they're dealing with and then some players who have contracts that could be renegotiated to get yourself some more room. John Robinson even talked about that the day the draft ended, is they still have a little bit of flexibility. So whether teams do it by renegotiating players or teams do it by releasing players, I'll be curious myself the strategy that's taken across the league.
Kind of a sneaky signing, I think, for the Titans. We were talking about it last week, right, Greg? The Brian Hill signing, the running back from Atlanta, limited carries last year, but put up some pretty decent numbers, and he seems like he's got a little bit of ability there.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, certainly, you know who the starter is going to be, but then after that, I mean, you've got a guy that was picked last year that didn't play a lot and was injured a good chunk of the season, and now you've got a veteran that you're adding to the mix. So I think he's capable of coming in and certainly making this team, and can do a number of things for you. So he's one of a number of guys that's been signed, since the draft that is somewhat interesting to me in their fight to make the 53.
Hey, I can tomorrow night. What, 7 o'clock Central? The schedules come out.
That's
is
right,
that what it
the
is?
Schedule.
I can go. I can tell you who they're playing and where. If you could tell us when, that'd be good.
Yeah,
it's funny. That's still an interesting. I know it's not like it used to be where you'd find out the schedule, and the dates all at the same time. Now you know who you're playing. It's still interesting, though, because you get to find out who your primetime games are. You get to find your home opener, your road opener. A lot of people, know, playing in their falls around certain dates.
And for the players, Jimmy, they want to know when that bye week is, right?
Yeah, and the bye week's important too. And, you know, for me, you know, I'm curious to see when they're playing in L.A. against the Rams, because if that's sometime in October, about the time my guys are hitting their stride, I could pair up.
You can double dip there.
Dodger Stadium on Friday and Saturday night before a game on Sunday.
I hope it's in December.
And then I've also got, you know, and one of the first things I always look at is where the Titans play the weekend of the Vanderbilt-Tennessee game, because I've got a streak that you guys know of, I'm sure, that's gone on since 1978.
Wow.
It's going to be a challenge if the Titans are playing in Seattle, let's say, the day after the Vanderbilt-Tennessee game. It could be the end of my streak, so I need a home game there. So you got to factor in a lot of things here when the schedule comes out. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and I do think we're going to know probably when you guys are on air in the morning who the opener is, because the league this year is going to let their broadcast partners announce their week one schedule. So
all right.
I would think at some time in the morning you're going to know who the opener is and where it's going to be and what station it's going to be on, whether it's going to be prime time or not. So that'll if you got something to talk about other than the Dodgers.
Man. What was your closest call? Since 1978, the UT Vandy game, the closest call.
How much time have we got left?
No.
This is quite a story. It was 2013.
Well, you want to hold through the break? We'd love to hear this.
Yeah, I got to hear the story.
I have to say.
Okay. Let's